The Capital Golf Gang is brought to you by Golfdom, and the 2024 golf season has arrived. You need to get to Golfdom at any of their locations in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville and see the latest in clubs, apparel, shoes, and all the golf gear you'll ever need. Get fit for the latest club offerings at any of their locations and let the Golfdom fitters get you dialed in. While you're there, be sure to take a walk through their fabulous selection of apparel that will have you looking great on and off the course. Golfdom also offers full-service club repair to get your existing clubs ready, so get your clubs re-gripped. Check those lofts and lies, or upgrade that driver shaft. Golfdom has been in the D.C. market since 1982, but they've grown to three locations as part of the Worldwide Golf family. You can shop online at worldwidegolf.com or visit Golfdom in Tysons, Virginia, or in Annapolis or Rockville, Maryland. Golfdom, live the game. Today's show might get a little bit serious, but I kind of dig it. We are here in the beautiful Callaway Fitting Studio at Golfdom, and look at this foursome. Buddy Christensen, Golfdom. How you doing there, buddy?
Tasting the golf season ahead.
You feeling it right now, even though it's cold?
I'm ready.
Okay.
We're getting there.
John Gould, Mid-Atlantic PGA CEO. How about you?
Season actually just started for us. We had our first tournament. I actually played my first round of golf on
you
Sunday.
Played?
Yes, it's a true. It's
he
a
played.
Wow.
It's a wow. Festivus miracle. What'd Correct. You shoot?
A little 78.
Whoa,
out of the
whoa,
whoa. Well, that's a handicap.
5,300 yards. That's good,
6,000, but still.
Tee it forward. John Ronas, director of golf at River Creek. Hello, my friend.
How are you guys? It is a great time of year to be a UConn Husky.
That's right.
Your UConn Husky basketball team is
on
rolling.
Both sides.
Rolling
yeah, both
like
sides.
A unit. Yep. And I must give props to Buddy, JMU grad.
Thank you.
As the Dukes took down Wisconsin,
we
my adopted
did.
Team. Just a start to finish, wire to wire.
Yep. Tougher.
It was tougher. It was fun to watch, and then Sunday was not so fun to watch.
Did getting crushed by Duke take anything off of the biggest win in program history?
So I watched a lot of JMU this year because we beat Michigan State the first game. That was big, got us into it, won an exciting game, I think game two or three. Anyway, watched a lot of them. Watched a lot of Duke because of ACC, Carolina fan, but I thought Duke played really well from the start, and we just couldn't recover.
I didn't
from
ask
it.
That. I said, did it take anything away from the win? For
no.
Okay.
Well, I say that because
did losing your coach take away? From
I saw
it?
Them play well. Losing, we thought we lost him the night before. We were texting. He's going to West Virginia.
Right.
We thought that's where he's going at time.
He went
out,
to Vanderbilt.
So he goes
though.
To Vanderbilt.
I'll tell you what. With the sun down SEC. There right now, I think it's very good that they lost to Duke, because I'm not sure.
Oh, that's right. Your boy goes to JMU.
Yeah, and I don't know if he just, I think, barely woke up to see the second game.
Yeah, right, right.
So,
took a while for sure.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to start with an email. This is from my friend, the Felt Father, as I call him. He's our connection down there to MGM National Harbor. And I'll just leave it at that. Don't
that's
need
good.
To bring his name into it. You've actually met him here because he helped retrofit the van. He writes me to say, golf help. Zabe, my turn to ask you for some help. I could really use some advice from you. My new role at the company has put me in a place where I need to improve my golf game so as to not completely embarrass myself. It's a common thing, right?
Yep.
I'm going to have several golf outings coming up this year, and to strengthen my executive presence, I need to improve my game. I'm a once-a-year golf guy with at least 15-year-old clubs. I plan on a lot of driving range and some lessons. Other than that, I think I need to start with a new set of clubs. Some friends tell me to spend a couple of grand and get fitted for a new set. My new boss, an avid golfer, thinks I should get a nice starter set, however, just for now. Getting fitted in a year or two would make more sense. What are your thoughts on this? Would I get fitted for an over-the-counter set? Can you recommend a place? We're sitting in one right now. Am I okay with driving it to the right place? Blah, blah, blah. As a friend of yours, not looking for a hookup, I would just like some advice. Well, I said to him, and Buddy's going to hate this, I said, don't buy clubs now. Hold off. There will be a time in which you come into this wonderful, spectacular golf store with their expert fitters, and you will get clubs that work for you, but not now. Not now, Sensei. You remember Karate Kid, right?
Mm, yeah,
what was
sure.
the first thing he told Danielson? What did wax on, wax off.
Right, yep.
Had him wax his car, but he was teaching him the moves. I feel like golf is like that. You have got to spend time hitting buckets and more buckets. And you got to play some to get yourself. If you're a once-a-year guy, you basically don't play golf.
Yeah, you have no feel at all.
No feel, no nothing. You got to kind of get a sense of, okay, when I do this, it does that. When I do this, it does that. Okay, so I said go to the range 3 times a week, play 2 times a month, get back to me in a couple of months. Did I give him bad advice?
I'm out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm out of here. You should have said, come on down and get some Zixios.
Top of the line.
Top of the line. Right.
Some two of the, grand.
Two grand.
5 grand.
Well, I think.
Kidding me?
He did,
2 grand.
He did put in there a couple things. Executive. You know, he wants part of the show. So you got to take that into account here.
You don't want him showing up looking like he's got a set of clubs from, say, Goodwill.
Right.
Yeah. Or 15 years ago, as he indicated in his email.
Correct. So he needs to do something. And a package set, you know, you can start at $200-$400 for a package set. They've gone up a little bit, but so you can get something that's worthwhile. But I think he's looking to get something that represents that, you know, he's a newer golfer.
Sure.
But he's got something.
Okay.
So you can get.
He's got presence, right?
You
isn't that
get,
what he asked for?
What do you make of my advice, Ronis, to get out there and just, you know, feel hitting some things?
I think it's good.
Or
I think,
do
I
you,
think both
or
are
do
good
you
so
like,
far.
Do you like newbies coming right into you right away? Or any PGA of America, ding, ding, ding?
No. Look.
Instructor.
I've never learned anything in my life until I was 38 years old and I learned how to play guitar. So I'm going to compare it to this. I walked into a guitar place. I wanted to play guitar. And I bought a guitar, $150. Very quickly, I decided that I loved it, and I wanted to get two things. One, a guitar that I thought sounded good if I hit the right note. But two, I wanted something where if I went over to a friend's house, well, that's a cool guitar. That's a nice guitar. Nothing crazy expensive.
You wanted to flex a bit.
So there's a little bit of that I think an executive needs to do.
Okay,
set
that's
makeup
fair.
And what he gets at the beginning I think is going to be very important. Now, from a sense here that doesn't fit in as much to a retail situation, Callaway specifically has Callaway pre-owned. If he just got a good fitting, he could have the specs, and maybe he gets a new set of irons, $700. Maybe he gets a new set of irons and a driver, $1,200, $1,300, and then fills it in with a couple pre-owned hybrids, wedges, putter, things like that. So now he's got a great basis that is fit for him. He's not going to grow out of it as far as a better swing or a different swing. It's just not going to happen. And now he also represents himself. I'm trying. I put the time
into it. I never thought of it that way. Never.
Well, that's why I'm here, Zabe.
Well, I know, and that's why Buddy's here, and now Ghoul's going to weigh in.
Yeah, so I'm in the middle of this, you know, our retail guy and our instructor. But, you know, the first thing that struck out for me, the email. Now, we're talking about his specific email here, so this is not necessarily applying to everybody. But he can't show up anywhere with 15-year-old clubs, and I don't think –
Wait, I got 15-year-old clubs.
Well, you should get new clubs. Can we talk?
He
doesn't have 15-year-old. You may have a club.
Okay. Nobody would tell the difference. No. It's not like showing up with 1950 Ben Hogan's.
Well, yeah, true. But I think even just hitting those on the range is probably going to give him bad feedback based on what the current product is. So, you know, whether it's a starter set or a kind of a hodgepodge of some pre-owned stuff, I think he needs something to start with. You know, I'm always going to side on the side of our PGA professionals giving him lessons. And, you know, until Ronis mentioned that, I would have said don't get fit yet until you kind of get some lessons and your swing improves a little bit. But I think it's a two-step process. It's a starter set that's, you know, I don't know what his 15-year-old set looks like, but I'm imagining it looks horrible. And then it gets a starter set, and then he takes some lessons, and then he gets.
Okay. I have a 2002 set of TaylorMade rack irons.
You're not playing them.
Well, there's a reason for that, buddy. But I love them so much, the look and the feel. I actually sourced a replacement 9-iron for the set off of Club Finder. So I now have the whole set. Of course, when I went to go test them in here against the modern equipment, they're shorter and they fly lower.
Yeah.
But
you
they
just said,
sound You but like they the look. Field. They don't. But they don't
but
look
that's
like
not what he's going for.
They don't look like they're homemade clubs that you made out of a stick.
Yeah, but if he's playing with some golfers that know what they're doing, they're going to say, "Aren't those the 2000 model?" When he,
well,
when he sees them,
part of the deal.
Well, if he shows up with a bubble burner, yeah. then yeah.
For anyone who is getting more involved or initially involved in the game, there has to be excitement. And if you're constantly getting hit over the head because your golf clubs just don't provide that excitement, you're not going to be invigorated
that,
to go hit
that
some
is,
more balls.
That is true. Excitement and also investment. Sure. You know, well, if you're in for a grand or 1500, you're sort of committed.
But and don't confuse fitting with spending a bunch of money. Because you can come in here and get fit
okay.
at no cost, right? And that's to figure out, are you close to what you need? What maybe this would help you. So I think, you again, there's budgets that you can hit that can get you a full set of clubs that doesn't break the bank.
Okay.
And would represent.
Yeah. And here in golfdom, they also have the back nine, which is used equipment that if you're very close to a normal standard set, you can get, especially the non-flat bottom clubs, so the non-irons, hybrids, and fairway woods, where you don't have to get fit for lie angle specifically or length specifically, you can get those two generations old for $100.
Yeah, I mean, we've got, right now in TaylorMade, we've got some Sim Max. And now, since then, they've had Sim 2,
yeah.
Stealth 2. Now we're on the QI10. Like,
right.
It's... There's options for him.
So you're still running that used operation out in the back where you can't even see it on the floor. You got to go do a secret knock and
no,
a password.
We're more
Camelot.
We're
okay, more let him in.
We got away from that. No, we're more on the floor there. But
you are? Okay, good. I got to go check it out while
yeah,
we're here.
Highly
okay.
trafficked area.
All right. So let's sum up here, Ghoul. I gave bad advice on both ends, one on the equipment end and on the instruction end. Good
yes.
for me.
Yes.
Good job.
Yep.
Good job. This is why you guys are here. I'm going to tell you where it comes from.
Hopefully though. He listens to the show. He'll get it all fixed up.
I'm going to tell you where it comes from, though. It comes from my experience with the game, and this is what we're going to pivot to here, which is why do you play the game? What is it about golf? What is it about golf for all of us? And I just know that golf is a game that requires what I call a radioactive spider bite, like Peter Parker. Something about the game that gets you, and you're like, oh, wow, okay, I'm into this now, right? And for me, when I was 10 years old and would tag along with my pops to the driving range, there's a driving range on 123 out past Westwood that is now long since closed, where the Flint Hill Academy
oh, yeah, yeah.
is.
Out
yeah.
like Fair Oaks.
At,
right?
yeah, yeah. yeah, not quite Fair Oaks, but no, out 123 past this store, right? I remember vividly going to that driving range, and I took to it because it fascinated me. It requires, to me, golf requires a fascination, an excitement, an appetite for improvement, and a constant open mind to understanding. In fact, it brings up what I think is the greatest quote about golf, of thousands of quotes about golf. You can look them up online. It's by Heywood Hale Broun, who was a sports writer in New York City in the 1940s. And his quote is, golf is not, on the whole, a game for realists. By its exactitudes of measurement, it invites the attention of perfectionists. That's a hell of a quote, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great quote, and it's very true. But also, golf is such a layered game. For many people, golf is a conduit. Golf is a conduit to spending time with your family for hours.
Yes.
Golf is a conduit for the beauty of what is out there on the golf course. Golf is a conduit for having a couple beverages and still being able to play a sport. On other layers, golf is not a conduit. Golf is a game or a sport that we are constantly trying to improve upon
right.
for a lifetime.
Right.
So the layers of golf put themselves for every group of person who would want to get involved with it. And I think that's, in golf, lies the only thing, or the biggest thing that's different about every other sport that you eventually can't do anymore because of age or physical limitations or things like that. You can play it, as someone was telling me today, their father just passed away, played it 6 weeks ago, played 18 holes.
Wow.
So his whole entire, 94 years old.
94.
His whole entire life. He played golf.
That's great.
Great for him. You can't do that in the other sports. So I think the layers of golf are what make it such a great game, but I think you can find a in one of those layers.
Buddy, I'm going to go to you. Your slogan here at Golfdom, or at least it was, you're pivoting to a new one, get there, but was live the game.
Yep.
Tell me what golf means to you.
So live the game to me means it embodies what you're doing. And that takes you away from just the golf course. It's the social aspect of it, of getting together with family, with friends. I look back, you know, I played at a young age with my dad. I'd love to play another round of golf with my dad. Unfortunately, passed away many years ago. And then it moved into high school when, you know, I played competitively for those years, so I've got that flavor of golf. And now it's, you know, I look forward to my trips with my buddies and playing at the club and some competition in there, whether it's a Ryder Cup type format that we're playing or, you know, a match play event at the club. But really it's more social. So kind of walking through that whole process of enjoying it at all those different levels for all those different reasons that,
right.
You know, it's a great game. So right. I do feel like Live the Game kind of embodies we're trying to do here.
Mr. 78.
That's like the only time ever. But, yeah, so, I mean, it's been my vocation for, you know, almost 30 years now.
Right.
And I love Ronis's comment in terms of a conduit. For me, it's a conduit to people that I meet. And it's you all. It's sponsors. It's growing up playing with my family. Both my mom and my dad played. My mom was a much better player than my dad, actually. You know, so playing them as a foursome, my twin brother and I and them too, we had our foursome built in, right? And those are some of my fondest memories. But now it's people I meet. When I go travel for PGA business, it's who am I playing golf with at what awesome facility? And it, you know, it provides a lot of avocation now, because of that. So it's really kind of been wonderful for me on both sides. It's my job, kind of like you. Right? It's my job, but it's also something I really enjoy, and I'm just tremendously lucky to be able to.
You know, I wrote my Callaway rep, Mary Leigh. He's our Callaway rep. Yep. I think yours too. And this was last year, I believe. And I got a new. So nice to send a new set of basically everything to me every single year. New ball retriever. Nice. I was so excited. It was winter to get out there and play golf because of the equipment and how it performed.
For a grizzled teaching vet like you,
it
was still Christmas.
I hit my 7-iron in college at the peak of my superpowers, 150. I now hit a 7-iron, 165. Now, look, that's fun. Right?
Yeah, sure.
So you're getting better.
Of course, it's a 5-iron.
Yeah, right, so I think I'm getting better, right? So that's what equipment, getting back to the equipment part of it, that's what equipment can help you to fall in love with it if it makes it easier or if it makes you feel like you're all of a sudden getting better.
Also, because it's a 6-iron, but I don't want to get into that.
It's like a 4-iron, well,
and
actually. That's okay.
One other aspect, too, that, you know, there's some cool places in this world that you revolve around golf. And I think back now, I've gone to some pretty cool places because of golf.
Oh, no question about it. See, back to the quote, I love the fact that Haywood Hale Bruin said, it invites the attention of perfectionists. It does not require or demand perfectionists. It just invites the attention. You gotta love the fact it's so maddening at times, so mysterious. It comes and goes. That if you don't accept that, you might get thrown off the horse. You know, I've known guys who have said, I want to try to play golf. They didn't have the mindset for it. It did not attract them. It did not fascinate them in a way that was required. And that's okay, but that's what the game is about. I agree. The best shots you hit, you'll remember when you fall asleep on your pillow at night. And the best friends you'll ever have will probably come from golf once you're in it. The best times of your life will happen on golf courses. I mean, the places you'll go, the people you'll meet, the truths of life that you will come to understand as you ponder, why did my ball hit that tree? What was I thinking here? Was that smart? Okay, I've got to accept it. Accept it and move on. They're priceless lessons. So it's great. Golf cannot be conquered. We all know that. It also can't be faked, right?
Right.
You can't just fake being into golf. Either you're in or not, right?
Right.
100%.
Yep. It's like, I'm not saying it's a cult, but it's close.
But you know.
It's close to a cult.
And the thing is, you know when someone's faking, too. You know, you have a conversation and they just don't use the right terminology, or they say something about the game and you're like, I don't believe that for a second.
But you also, you don't have – I love to go – when I go to Florida, I tee it up on a public course. I don't tell them I'm a pro. I don't tell them I'm anything, and I'm alone. And the last time I got teed up with these three guys from West Virginia, and you know when they are out there because they love the game. They're not good. They're not good golfers at all, but they love the game. Now, there will be occasionally a buddy who will be just like, you know, who will be on the phone or whatever. I have no time for that person. But those guys shooting 110 who love it and think that next time they can shoot 109, God, it makes me so happy that I was involved in the business.
So I got a good friend of mine, college fraternity brother, who goes to East Potomac. He's a school administrator. So days off from school, he's hitting balls, taking pictures, sending to us. Never played a round of golf before. Now he goes to East Potomac, and he's taking pictures on the fourth hole of him there playing. So yesterday he texted me, just out of the blue, 7 over after 4, happier than he could possibly be. And he literally had not played a round of golf on the golf course until this last, like 6 months ago. So very cool to see someone at 54 years old discover the game.
I'll also never forget when it comes to golf and being a cult, which it's not, but it kind of is. One of my best friends in high school, Chip Lippman, who is now a member both at Bethesda and Burning Tree, he's done very well for himself, but very humble about it, has invited me out many a time. He and I were out at Pebble Beach. I forget, he came out, flew out to meet with me because I was working in California right out of UC Santa Barbara, Harvard of the West, doing games. We went up to Pebble Beach together, right? And I was having such a bad day one day, and we had paid a lot of money, not as much as it is now because this was 1994, I want to say. And I was having such a bad day, I'm like, that's it, Chip, I'm out. As soon as we get back, I'm selling my clubs, I'm out. He looks at me and laughs. He goes, no, you're not. I go, what do you mean, no, I'm not? This is crazy. I spent all this time, all this money on the game. And he says to me, and this is a quote that still rattles in my head, he goes, what are you going to do?
Right.
What are you going to do with all your time, basically? He kind of said, there is no option other than figuring it out. And he was right.
Well, you hear the quote all the time is, I'd quit this game, but I have way too many nice shirts. That's it.
And I can't wear them all.
Right. That's right.
Okay, coming up, we'll play our quick nine. Mr. Malnati goes to Augusta. How about that? Yeah. Another emotional long shot win on the PGA Tour, plus Rahm regrets. Got that story and more coming up. You are listening to the Capital Golf Gang, presented by Golfdom, here in Tyson's Corner. Thanks for listening. Hey, thanks for listening. You know, I want to take a minute to thank Buddy Christensen of Golfdom and his new parent company, Worldwide Golf, for being the exclusive presenting sponsor of the Capital Golf Gang. You know, my connection to Buddy and Golfdom runs deep. As the original form of this store was called the Washington Golf Center, and it was located in a nondescript loading dock behind a tire center in Tyson's. It's where I remember buying my first ever TaylorMade bubble burner. True love. Since then, Buddy worked there as an employee and eventually bought and sold the store, but the legacy of Golfdom, now in its new location, lives on. It is a store filled with happy, helpful employees who both know the game inside and out and love it beyond all reason. And they have every single thing under the sun to help you enjoy it even more. So, if you love golf, and I know you do because you're listening right now, please take a moment to visit any of the Golfdom stores in the D.C. area, from Tyson's to Rockville and now Annapolis. Now, back to the podcast. All right, we are back. Good to have you on board this week. Zabe here with Buddy Christensen from Golfdom, John Gould from the Mid-Atlantic, and Mr. Ronis, Johnny Ronis from River Creek. Buddy took a picture of River Creek flying in this week from Vegas. Yeah. Said, "What course?"
Yep.
I won the prize. I was the first one to.
It took me too long to type.
Right. I was like pinch zooming, and I was like, "Okay, legs." So got it. That's a fun game to play.
When they
though.
Do a swing around when you're coming into Dulles, you get a glimpse of a ton of really good golf courses down the river.
Yeah. Well, when I first looked up, I was like, "All right, what is?" And as soon as I saw it, I was like, "All right, I got to snap this one." Send it to the boys.
I love it. Okay, hole number one of our back nine today. Mr. Malnati goes to Augusta. Peter Malnati, who had been receiving this year more than what many thought were deserved entries into PGA Tour events because he is on this new board of directors of the new SSG group and all that stuff.
Getting sponsor exemptions for the elevated events that some were saying were unwarranted.
Exactly. Sure. Well, Peter Malnati shut them people up because he won this week against some pretty good players, not the greatest of fields, but still held off Cam Young down the stretch and wins. And he was very emotional afterwards. Here is what he had to say to the Golf Channel.
A lot of people had their chances today, but Malnati ends up beating everybody as we send you down to Kira K. Dixon.
Well, Dan, 9 years after you first won on the PGA Tour, Peter Malnati, you're now a two-time winner on the PGA Tour. What did you draw on coming down the stretch to become a winner out of this bunch leaderboard?
I have no idea. I told myself I was going to do my best on every shot, and that was what I did, and I was so nervous coming down the stretch. A lot of those shots, you kind of see it in the, you know, the approach into 16 was terrible, but I was just like, you can't describe it. It's so cool. It's so cool to share it with, like.
There you go. With his boys, what, 8, 9-year-old boy in his arms? Maybe younger?
I think younger.
Got to be 4 or 5. I hadn't had young kids in a long time. It's pretty cool stuff. You got to have a heart made of ice to not feel a little bit, oh.
Very cool.
Now, quick question for you because it's been bothering me. He won 9 years ago, and he didn't play in the Masters?
I don't know how that's his first time
in the Masters?
It is, because he said, in the story I read, it said that he told people, I've been invited there, and I can go as a spectator, but I want to go when I can play. So he'd been holding that off. I don't know what he won 9 years ago.
It used to be, if you won in the fall, remember when it wasn't a wraparound schedule and all that? If you won in the fall season,
there was one year the Masters changed
like
it.
Like the old Sanderson Farms and some of those ones that were just.
Yeah, they didn't mention what he won 9 years ago, but it must not have been much of a tournament. Yeah. I don't remember him much from 9 years ago.
I think you used to have to win two times to get kind of guaranteed way back in the day.
No, it was always one.
But it was in the regular tour season. I think it was
Masters said even winning one doesn't guarantee you anything. You had to meet some other metrics.
Maybe that was a year.
And people said, boo, boo, yeah. No.
I agree.
Golden ticket. But the Masters listened, and they went back to it. But, yeah, he won with a bucket hat and a yellow golf ball.
Did you hear why he plays the yellow golf ball?
They're easier to see.
No,
that's my guess.
His kid liked it, and he said it will remind me of my kid when I'm playing on the golf course. So
that obviously
cool
means
too.
A lot. You know, we just saw the interview, so that's whatever it takes, man. If that's what it takes to get you focused and
funded
playing
the
your best.
529 plan right there with that victory, right. So that's all right.
Those yellow balls, buddy, they are the best for visibility. No, I will argue with anybody on this. I just, as a traditionalist, have a hard time.
I'm totally with you. You
teeing
can see
them.
I can't play them.
Yeah, you can see them anywhere.
I've never tried to play them, but
yeah, nor have I. Yeah.
Orange back in the day.
Well, yeah, Jerry Pate won with an orange ball back in the '80s. So
players,
this might be the first color ball win in a long time, right?
Might be. Yeah.
Anyway,
I didn't mention it.
Kudos to him. Okay, hole number two, Rahm. Regrets in an interview he did with ESPN in advance of their Masters coverage coming up. He had some interesting quotes. Eamon Lynch, columnist for Golf World, had the following passage, which I thought was interesting. He said, picture the reigning Masters champion watching the action from home, then juxtapose that. By the way, he was talking about how great the players was because he watched the players like, that was exciting, wasn't it? Yep. Admitted it was hard not to be out there. He said, juxtapose that with a widely circulated image of him playing a LIV event in Jeddah with not a spectator in sight. When asked about a subsequent LIV stop in Hong Kong, Rahm praised the people and the food. He's a competitor reduced to a concierge.
Great line.
His brave face notwithstanding, there was a poignant note in his comments about moving to LIV Golf. Quote, Rahm, it's done. It's past. It's a decision I made. And I'm comfortable with it, but I am hoping I can come back.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound like he's that comfortable with it.
I was going to say, doesn't it?
Don't forget that John Rahm was Malnati. Not totally, but he came on and he had to win once. He had to be that guy that's like, wow, this might be a rising star. They all were at one point.
He was more touted than Malnati.
I don't think so. He was young. No one really knew unless you were
really?
From Spain.
Well, he had a run at congressional, right? And then gave it away.
Well, they all had to be young at some point. They all had to be up and coming
at some point. And then,
you know? So. Yeah.
But that's a heavy quote right there, saying I'm it's done, it's passed. I made the decision, and claims he's comfortable, but then says I'm hoping I can come back.
Yeah, I mean the first thing when I read that quote, I'm thinking that I think he thought that his going was going to be the pivot point where everybody's going, okay,
that's
it. Rahm left. Let's just get everybody together. We're going to figure this out, and it's been taking so long, and now. You know, later in that article, some of the players talking about, well, should they get to come right back or should be a waiting period or a fine? I think he thought it was going to be a lot easier is the way I read that quote.
And I had said last week and probably subsequent weeks, the whole negotiation is how to get these guys back. It has nothing to do with money.
Right. The money is the easiest part. We have the monies.
Now, being an
got your monies, we got our monies, we got the monies.
Being an English major, I read these things very closely. The word comfortable. Yeah. Is a very passive word.
He didn't say happy.
Yeah. Didn't say happy. Didn't say ecstatic.
He's like, I made the decision. And
comfortable. Yeah. Like if someone's in the back seat of your car and you say, how's it going back there?
I'm comfortable. Yeah. Am I enjoying the ride? No.
No. I think you're driving stinks.
Yes. But
I'm comfortable. Like I haven't peed myself yet.
And he's about 4 events into this career, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
you know, this is, you know.
If this goes 2.5 years, and it's possible, it'll be a grind.
Credit to Lynch. This was some great writing. I mentioned it to you when you sent it, Zabe. Just the lines, you know, the fact that, you know, picture him, juxtapose him with Jetta with nobody there.
I mean, yeah.
Really paints a picture, and I think it's pretty accurate.
No, Lynch is the best writer in the game right now, in my opinion. He's a bit strident on some things, tends to get political at times, but he writes beautiful golf stories, and I think he's spot on when it comes to this. So we will keep an eye on that. Hole number 3. What's for dinner?
Yeah.
Fun fact, once upon a time when I would be invited to go over to kids' houses or friends' houses as a kid, I would always ask my buddy, whether it was Donnie Regal or whether it was Chip Lippman or Chip Gladson, I'd say, hey, what – hold on, before I say I'm going to sleep over, what are we having for dinner? Because, you know, I was such a picky Pete. I didn't want to get stuck with some inedible dinner, right?
Yep.
So when it comes to the Masters dinner, it's always fascinating to see what the past champion chooses. And Jon Rahm has set up an absolute Southern Spanish banger of a meal with all kinds of things. I can barely even pronounce the Spanish version. Yep. A disadudo con trifa negra, tortilla de patatas, croqueta de pollo. And they had explanations like creamy chicken feathers or chicken
fritters.
Thank you. there is the lentejas estofadas, which is Mama Rahm's classic lentil stew.
Gotta love it. Just a great tradition, right? You know, to be able to do that and set it up how you want. We've actually stolen that for our section championship. We have a champions dinner, and we don't. It's not like that. It's just, hey, do you want steak or chicken? I want steak. Okay, there we go.
So we've got my fireball challenge.
Yeah,
we do a champions dinner.
Nice,
and we have a friend who is a good chef, and he will do this whole meal. We had Scotty's meal last year, and I'm going to
be doing this meal.
He's going to do this meal.
Holy smokes.
Out of town.
Oh.
It's April 25th, so I'm kind of bitter even looking at it because I'm going to miss the meal for the first time. I think we've done it for 4 or 5 years now, and it's awesome.
Well, I think Chef Andreas, what's the chef, the local?
Oh, right.
Yes.
He was very involved with
was he? Because he knows Southern Spanish cuisine.
Yeah, Basque region, I guess.
Right, Basque region. Did you know, apparently, according to one tour pro who tweeted this, that the champion's responsible for paying for it?
I did not know
that. Wow.
But it's an interesting twist, isn't
it? No problem now.
Well, it makes sense because when Bubba won, each time it was almost like Zaxby's with, you know, an ice cream cup at the end. But then again, he might have a simpler taste.
Well,
you know?
So in fairness, I got to go to dinner with the Ping Tour rep. This is many years ago when Bubba was just coming up. And Bubba was kind of a phenom, and Ping kind of ties kind of into those guys. Yeah. And so they took him after his first either win or big check or something. They took him to Ruth's Chris for dinner, and he wanted a hamburger. And they said, we don't have a hamburger. And he was like, couldn't you just grind up some beef?
Oh,
so they
Lord.
Literally went and ground up some beef. He wanted hamburger and fries, and they made him, you know, hash browns and ground up. And that's literally
best hamburger he ever had.
That's all he knew. Right?
Yeah. Wow.
It was.
Ground up
and
ribeye.
And I guarantee it's on the menu later
probably
on, right?
Is.
At
yeah.
the Bubba.
Well,
Burger.
That leads into this next slide. It was the funniest tweet that I saw, and it was, what if my child made a Masters championship dinner? Appetizer, ignored fruit, cut up pieces of peeled apples, grapes, and watermelon that was asked for but will not be touched. Cheetos in a bowl.
Perfect.
For the main meal. Dangerously cheesy orange crisps served in a blue plastic bowl, not a plate, and destined to lightly coat every surface well after dinner has ended.
For sure.
Toast, lightly seasoned bread, lightly toasted bread topped with country crock spread to be eaten with bare hands and only the center part, not the crust. And dessert is candy. 3 green M&Ms.
Perfect.
Served in honor of Mr. Logan Dunnigan.
But with green napkins, because
exactly.
That's what we got to do.
All right, hole number 5. Wacko Patty golf tips. I love Padraig Harrington. I just do. I love the accent. I love who he is. I love that he's out there filming these golf tips. But I watch a lot of them, and I think, I don't know if I'm feeling you on that one there, old Patty. He seems to be kind of a whack job in certain ways. Then I happen upon this tip, Mr. Ronis, which...
You hear this famous thing called bounce, and I've got to say...
What's that? You cut out on me? You can't hear that now? Can you guys hear this right
yeah,
now?
I can.
You can hear it? Suddenly, Ronis cannot hear it. He's in position
back
4.
In.
Back in now? Okay.
Nope, back out.
Okay. So Padraig Harrington...
Good.
Okay, so here we go. Getting the wire out here just a second. Is that in?
I'm good.
You're still good. Okay.
Yep.
All right. Not going to touch
you. Sorry about that.
So, Patty Harrington, better that you tell me. Patty Harrington had a golf tip about chipping that went directly against your tip you gave me, which is the greatest tip and the greatest way to conceptualize more consistent chipping I've ever seen. Here's what Patty says, and then I'm going to show you the video I made after I started applying the Ronis technique.
The most overused word when it comes to chipping. Okay, so what is bounce? So I've got a 56 degree wedge. That's the leading edge. Anything underneath the leading edge is called a bounce. So if this actually says it's got 14 degrees of bounce, so a huge bounce on this generally. So basically from that point to the lowest point is 14 degrees. So this wouldn't be great off rock hard fairways. But that's what the bounce is. The bounce saves you when you make a bad swing, okay? That's what it does. Do not try and use the bounce. Try not to use the bounce. And then when you make, like I did in my last one and got a little bit wrong, the bounce saved me and I ended up with the same shot. You're not meant to bounce the club into the ball. You're never meant to hit the ground before the ball. You're meant to hit the ball first. Then, on a good shot, the bounce will go into the ground after you've made your strike, so it makes no difference.
Okay. Ronis, you are rubbing the temples of your nose right now.
Everyone gets confused with the word bounce and the term bounce. It's not designed to bounce. It's designed to slide, right? It's designed not to dig. The leading – okay, why don't we make clubs that are digging soles as opposed to all the game improvement wedges – are larger.
So like a straight edge normal iron.
Yeah, I mean, make it easier. Just have a knife right down the bottom and then boom, you don't have to worry about bounce. We're not going to bounce it in there. We're just going to dig holes.
Is there a difference between the sole of a wedge and the bounce?
It's all together. Yes. You use the word bounce. You use, if you're
so
saying
sole
it
of the club and bounce is same.
I don't say use the
buddy?
Bounce. I say use the sole.
Yeah.
Of the club. I don't say use the bounce.
Do we have a wedge
club
in here somewhere that I could hold up? I'll see if I can find one. Anyway, so it's a – he says you want to catch the ball clean. I don't know about that because when you gave me this tip, I was like, wow, this makes a ton of sense.
Here Steve Zabin here. Do you suck at chipping? I used to suck at chipping, but guess what? John Ronas, River Creek in Leesburg, has taught me the secret. Using the John Ronas chipping method here,
it's called the flange.
Another term, flange.
Sandwich.
Flange,
you
bounce,
may think,
sole.
Well, I don't want to use something that's going to bounce off this ground.
It doesn't actually bounce.
I want
bounce.
The club head
You'll see it
just
here.
Hitting the ground in front of the ball, you know, so it's going to slide under and it's going to lift the ball up effortlessly, which normally is pretty daunting.
Such a good video.
Thank you. Slow motion, Sony A7S3 for the win.
Let the club head slam right into the ground.
Do you want the club to stop?
The only thing you have to worry about is just make sure the club head hits the ground.
Pinnacle practice. Wow.
Behind the ball.
Getting some action. Okay?
Just like a
that one was fighter jet
landing.
This is your analogy.
Aircraft carrier.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Look at did you hear the sound of that? And that is snuggly. The sound. I want you to hear the sound. Ready?
Butter. And how many divots there, by the way?
There you go. I slid right under it.
And that's a super tight lie.
Yep.
And it's a very short chip that I'm making it into. So who's right, you or Patrick Harrington?
Me.
That was an easy one.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I found it to be very counterintuitive, Ronas, and scary at first. But it makes sense because if you're coming down and making sure to contact the ground before a chip, even on a tight lie, a sand wedge is not going to dig in. It's going to hit and skid.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to bounce up. It's not how it works. It's going to land hard on the deck of the aircraft carrier, and then the tail hook is going to come right under that front edge and pop the ball in the air.
In these persons' idea of a chip shot, your club would stop right at the ball. It would go right into the ground and stop. And yes, you'd hit the ball first, and apparently it would be a good chip.
Maybe.
In their world,
one out of five would be good.
Straight into the ground.
There'd be a lot of chunks. There'd be a lot of blades.
So if we called that.
No sense of reality.
If we called that not bounce, we called that slide. 4 degrees of slide or something like that.
Slide is a better term because that's what it does.
No, it's eye-opening to me, too, because if you do think bounce, the more bounce,
your club is not bouncing in the air at all. It's hitting the ground and sliding on the turf, even tight turf, sliding underneath your ball like a spatula under your eggs.
Almost more so on tight.
It's like when you run with a sled and hit the hill. Do you bounce first? No, you just slide down the hill. You're running full speed.
Right.
You dive, and you don't bounce.
Let's get back to Patty, though.
Yeah.
He is a great – look at those eyes.
Greatest accent
look
in the
at
world.
Those eyes when he's talking. They kind of bug out. He's wearing shorts. He's got that voice.
That are way too long.
He looks like a wacko right there. Yeah. If you don't know him and kind of know his golf background, you go, this guy's crazy.
I just want to know, do you think that this is his own
I've
personal
seen it before.
Chipping area of natural grass with beautiful hedgerows in England?
Yes.
I want to go there.
Right.
What would that take for me to get a trip to go see Patty in his little chipping palace?
I think he'd invite you in a second. I think he's that crazy.
Well, but just to argue with me about, my boy Rona says you should chip entirely
different. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Have some Lucky Charms.
All right, hole number six. I think I said 5-6. I haven't misnumbered.
Yep.
This is hole 5. Ratings slump continues for the PGA Tour. Scotty Scheffler's repeat at the Players was not a TV draw, apparently, as NBC saw the lowest Sunday final round audience since 2014 when 3 million viewers saw Martin Keimer hold off Jim Furyk. Nice guys, but woof. NBC drew 3.5 million viewers on Sunday, down sharply from the 4.1 just last year when Scheffler won by 5 shots, and it was not in doubt. Tiger has not played the event since 2019. The final round on NBC in 2022 drew 2.9 million, but that finale was pushed to Golf Channel due to weather before having a Monday finish. What's going on?
That's amazing because that was as exciting as an event as we've had all year and maybe in a couple years.
Right.
Just ask Rahm.
Yeah, exactly. Rahm was watching. He was one of the 3.53 million. But, that's got to be worrying some people down in Ponte Vedra Beach for sure because it doesn't get much better than that in terms of the product. And if nobody was watching it, that is dangerous.
Yeah, I mean, Wyndham Clark with what he was doing. Like, and that golf course, the last two, three holes are awesome to watch anyway,
rock
right?
and roll golf course.
So you've got that buildup. You know, I don't
understand it. And I'm sure tour officials are just racking their brains right now and a little bit panicked.
I'm just convinced that if you were to take the major sporting events in the last 3 years and you were to say year over year, are they up or down? I'd say most of them are down.
Okay.
Just and the reason is because people just, the younger generation just seeks their information in totally different ways.
Right.
Well, maybe they were all watching the Hong Kong tournament instead of
The Live Hong Kong.
Yeah. To your point, though, the only scary part is that last year was 4.1, so it's not like that much has changed in the last year. Maybe it has.
It is.
Streaming and
but,
all that stuff.
You know, that got 3.5 1 million more viewers.
I mean, it's down. I know. right. Exactly. It's down 500,000 from last year, which was not close, and that to me is mystifying. But okay, we'll see. Hole number 6, sprinkler madness. So, not to throw any shade on Peter Malnati's win at the Valspar, but my God, did he get Mr. Gould a rules break of a lifetime. Here's the still cap of his ball, which is right under the S in madness on my screen here, and it's in some thick old gunch, delicate little chip, and because he was standing on a sprinkler head, he was afforded a one club length free drop, which allowed him to put it out onto the fringe. He then two-putted for par.
Yes, he did. So, you know, this is just the way the rules go. This has been happening for many
time
years.
Immemorial.
Yeah, it is not Peter's fault. You get bad breaks, you get good breaks, right? One of your questions to me, you know, not on the show, was, you know, how come they get relief for their feet? And you just have to imagine all of these obstructions. So a sprinkler head is one of them, but, you know, all kinds of different things that might be obstructions. You don't know if there's slope that makes your feet stand crooked because of the, you know, if it's a sprinkler head or a drain. Something else that might be, you know, a cart path is the same thing. It's an obstruction where your spikes might not be able to get, you know, good traction.
Boo-hoo.
For example.
Your spikes don't get traction on pine needles. They don't get good traction in dewy weather. Dewy grass on hills. Let's simplify this.
Yes, let's simplify it. I have a very, very simple solution.
What's that?
Two club lengths, line of sight with the pin and the sprinkler head.
Oh,
and drop
behind.
Drop it behind.
You still drop might behind. Be dropping, though, into a nicer lie.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is
behind.
you cannot put into words something that's always going to make it tougher, right? It's just never going to happen. That's the problem with writing rules so that they're – it's simpler now since 2019 because they said, hey, every relief situation is going to be exactly the same. Determine a point, club length, any direction. It looks like a little semicircle. Every single relief procedure does the same thing. There's no drop on the spot like embedded ball used to be. There's no, you know, anything else. It's always the same relief. Hey, he got a good break,
and the
but he's going to get a better
break. I think just has through the green. So it doesn't kind of identify rough.
I know. And there's, and, you know,
area.
Rough.
Yeah. There's no such thing as
I know.
Green
right.
General area. Okay.
Right. General area. But to me, I would make it only if your swing or ball is impeded by the sprinkler head, obviously. Stance,
so
too
you
bad.
Got a sprinkler head rule, but not a rule for the other obstructions. So now that's more complex.
If you're stepping on something, just step on it or move your stance. For gosh sakes, like do one of these.
What if it's
like,
a drain?
Yeah,
that goes like
yeah,
this.
What if we're in a muni that's a sprinkler is a foot below where the grass
if you
is?
Can,
what if you're in the fairway?
If you can, if you can swing at it and you can make contact without risk of hitting your club on the drain or sprinkler head, too bad, Bubby. It's golf. Golf ain't made to be fair.
How do you write that in the rules? If you can swing at it, how do you quantify that in the rules?
Rule 15-6.1, suck it.
Good.
There.
Good.
Succinct
you're
enough?
Never going to be able
Did
to.
Did I cover enough?
It's now,
I will say, these sprinkler heads have about 3 inches of ankle-breaking depth to them.
Yep. Right.
So those you would have to.
That is why this is exactly why a lot of the rules are the way they are.
And then the rule
just take a little goofy foot stance. Golf's supposed to be hard and fun and challenging.
If that's 1 foot off the green and you're right behind it, you don't get relief to putt it up until recently or tour rules.
Not in the States. I believe in Scotland you do. Or overseas.
So we do it as a local.
Yeah, it's a local rule that most people will adopt if it's close to the green. It's called the 2+2 rule. If you're within two club lengths of that sprinkler head, and the sprinkler head's within two club lengths of the edge of the green.
We have that.
No, you should be able to chip it over. I just told you how to chip. Never fails, except for when it does. Okay, hole number seven, Mr. Second Place. So Cam Young once again finished second. Brutal three-putt on 18. Left his potential tying birdie putt 9 feet short or something ridiculous like that. He now has as many second-place finishes as David Duval had before he finally won, which is the most ever recorded on tour. I think it's like 7 seconds. What do we think about Cam Young?
Thought he was going to do it there with Malnati and Mackenzie Hughes he was battling with, and I actually had to flip over to because whatever basketball game was a blowout at the time. So I did get to watch a little bit of it.
UConn.
The guy is, I think it was.
Might have been Purdue, buddy.
He's going to win. He's going to win a lot, I think, at some point. But
you feel that way, right?
Yeah, I really do.
He's such an interesting guy because he's so stoic, and he does run hot, but he manages to hide it pretty well.
Hits it a ton,
has that pause at the top, which is hypnotic, Hideki-like. And I think I like him, but I don't know him that well.
I think he's a world-class choker.
Really?
totally lying there, John. And I don't want to get emails about that. So please listen to the whole entire time. You know, with all these guys, the fact that he comes in second place a lot means he's really good.
He's knocking on the door.
His time will come.
Knocking on that door.
And he's done it in majors, too. Like, he's done it in big events.
He did it like three in a row at one point, I think.
His time will come. Please don't send me.
Okay. All right. Very good. Hole number eight, funky ball marker. You're looking at the ball marker here of one Kevin Streelman.
Of course.
Don't know if you sell these here at golfed him, buddy, do you?
I don't. I mean, I was reading up on him. He had to clip it down to be a one-inch.
So it's a ball marker that has a bodaciously deep spike to push it into the green, probably a full inch it looks like. And then the top of the ball marker has spinner on it, like a spinner rim for your car. And it has a line that you then can spin and line up so you can say, okay, now I'm going to line my ball up with a line on it to match my ball marker. And some people were wondering, is that legal? Apparently the answer is yes.
Yeah. Apparently.
You ever seen these kind of things out there in competition?
No, I've never seen them. And I'm glad it got checked out because that's one of those ones that you're never going to find in a book that says, oh, you can have a spinning ball marker. It's got to be, you know, someone has it and they send it to the USGA and they go, yeah, I think that, you know, we're still – you know, usually the way they phrase it is we're still relying on your talent to hit the ball. So, you know.
Right.
It's very smart, actually. I can't bend over anymore to even line the ball up, but it's very smart because you can line it up and then you can stand behind it and you can take a look, is that where I want to aim? And then all you have to do is line the ball line up with that.
What about a line-up ball marker with the stand-up putter? Then you probably would never miss a putt again.
You never would.
Leave it short.
I did read, though, he had to grind down.
Because the spike was too long.
Yeah.
Who did that rule?
Yeah, right. Where's that? Where'd the Scots write that into the rules?
Exactly. That's in the appendix.
Your spike shall not be too long on your ball marker. They didn't use them. They had stymies back then.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah.
Maybe player protection.
I would be concerned if there wasn't a mark on – I mean, it wasn't a spike on one of those because while you're busy spinning it, you might move the mark, and that's essentially moving the golf ball.
Oh, right.
So, you know, I'm glad that it has something to plant it in the ground, but yeah, that's an interesting one that, you know,
it should be a bottle opener too, you know.
Interesting,
like
though,
if you can make a ball marker that spins to line it up that also opens up a beer.
Perfect.
Hey, winning idea. Put him in the shop, buddy. We'll get those
Club Pro guy will have his own version of this sooner. Right.
Well, he's got the bubble level, the on mark point. Dumbest idea ever, but anyway. All right, finally, hole number nine. Beat it, old man. The Royal and Ancient has lowered the age at which they'll let past champions compete. It used to be 60. Of course, the Masters said lifetime exemption. Then some players, Gabe Brewer, would abuse it, just showing up for the free bowl of soup and the shirt, and they would shoot 104. So they kind of had to gently go, it's time for you to retire. But the RNA was always stricter. 60 is a kind of a low number because I'm pushing 60, as we all are, and now it's 55. 55.
Too low.
Yeah. What are they doing?
Stuart Sink is up there almost winning these tour events now. Yeah, but he's over 50. He's on the senior tour.
Yeah. Yep.
These guys over 50 can play on the normal tour.
They keep themselves
in now. You might think they'd raise it nowadays because
that's what
the guys
I'm saying.
So
yeah, these guys are
shape.
Getting.
The only thing I can think of is
when he almost won.
Early 60s, I think.
Okay, he almost won the event.
I know. He had played with the lead all weekend.
Yeah.
And if any major is built for someone with, you know, that's a little bit older that just has the experience or whatever, for an older guy to win, it's that one, the Open Championship. Yeah. So
it's too bad because they have the most daylight to work with. It's in the middle of summer, northern latitudes. They have a full, 156?
Yeah, 156, maybe. Yeah.
They load the boat on that, and they run them all day. They
got
room
off one.
For past champions.
They do it all off one, remember. They don't do 1 and 10. They do it all off one.
That's right.
I'm sure that's probably what they're looking at is we have too many in this category, and it's really –
Who are some of the old guys they're, like, looking to bump out? Ian Woosnam?
Well, I don't know. How old's Greg
Norman? Woosnam never won it, I don't think.
Yeah, maybe it's a Norman thing.
Yeah, maybe it's this is a way to
– Oh, no, he's over – yeah, he's over 60.
That would be savage.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Well, so Calcavecchia, Calc would be in there, but he's not really competing anymore.
Well, John Daly.
They love Daly, though, over there, so they'd have him back for as long as they want. Probably who is the no name that Ben Curtis? They're thinking, Ben Curtis, he's never going to leave us.
You know,
a lifetime exemption. Hey, we got to put in some limits here.
I think the Norman thing has a lot of play.
Yeah,
to
that
it.
Might be.
I think that's great.
Wow, that would be so.
It would have been great if Norman
petty.
Was like 62, and they said the limit
61.
Well, remember he had a run where he almost won it later on.
I know. Yeah.
So it'd be really cool if he did that last
year. It's definitely an event as an older player for sure.
Unless
interesting.
You're Norman.
Okay. All right. We got 2 minutes left around the horn here. Shameless promotional plugs, buddy. What's going on here at this store and your Annapolis store as well as Rockville?
Rockville. We're all rolling pretty well, getting ready for the year. We've got the new Scotty Cameron Phantom line coming out this weekend. And then I think just about everything is out for the season, all new drivers, iron sets, wedges, putters, and everything. So ready to go. I recommend getting fit. I recommend that if you are on the executive side that you do get some good clubs.
Get some clubs that won't embarrass you. Better yet, get a bag that doesn't embarrass you.
That's true, too.
The clubs are one part of it. The bag has got to be right.
I don't care about anything with putting. Like, I think it's the easiest thing in the world. But I picked up a counterbalanced Odyssey the other day. I would encourage your guys on staff here to put that in everyone's hand. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. Easiest thing in the world. Boy, that is a humble brag asking for a karmic smackdown. I did not say that. Yeah. You're listening right now.
Thank you.
Zabe just figured out his putter.
I did not figure. I've been taping it again in the basement on my Putt-tron.
Go to the counterbalance. I'm not kidding. It strokes it for you.
You can't fix my outside to in. I'm cutting it like Billy Mayfair.
I can fix anything. Fix your chipping.
We'll see about that. Okay, I'll fix your wagon. Ghoul, what do you got? What do you got in the Middle Atlantic PGA?
Hey, I don't usually go this way, but on our social media, Instagram in particular, MAPGA_. We're doing a club logo contest, and it is just blowing up. We did a round of 64, a round of 32. We're matching it with the tempo of the NCAA championship. We're getting thousands of votes. We want your vote. You know, get onto MAPGA_ on Instagram. Vote for those logos. It's not the quality of the golf course, although I think some people are voting that way. It's the quality of the logo.
River Creek was one of the first four teams out.
I think it was right
64.
In there, right? Yeah.
Westwood's alive?
Westwood's not alive anymore.
It's
a
field.
W. I mean, you know.
I know. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
All right. You got 20 seconds.
My shout out is to all the superintendents this time of year. These golf courses are coming around, aeration season. Have a little patience.
Be patient, yeah.
Superintendents are the best.
Yeah, they're done cutting up trees for the winter and all that winter maintenance, sharpening mower blades.
Yep. Our guy Jeff Webster is amazing.
Once that grass starts humping, they ain't going to have time for nothing else.
Right.
Cutting grass. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. Buddy, thanks for having us again, as always. And we will see everyone next week. The Capital Golf Gang is brought to you by Golfdom. And the 2024 golf season has arrived. You need to get to Golfdom at any of their locations in Tysons, Annapolis, or Rockville and see the latest in clubs, apparel, shoes, and all the golf gear you'll ever need. Get fit for the latest club offerings at any of their locations and let the Golfdom fitters get you dialed in. While you're there, be sure to take a walk through their fabulous selection of apparel that will have you looking great on and off the course.
Golfdom also offers full-service club repair to get your existing clubs ready. So get your clubs re-gripped. Check those lofts and lies. Or upgrade that driver shaft. Golfdom has been in the D.C. market since 1982, but they've grown to three locations as part of the Worldwide Golf family. You can shop online at worldwidegolf.com or visit Golfdom in Tysons, Virginia, or in Annapolis, or Rockville, Maryland. Golfdom, live the game.